Stephen Pettis Ministries is pleased to share this anointed, life-changing message with you, straight from the Word of God. We believe it will encourage you, build your faith, and be another step toward a better life of complete victory. So open your heart, incline your ears, and receive the rich, uncompromised Word of God. The message has just started. Let's listen in.
People always blame, situations or blame people all the time for where they're at. Well, I can't go nowhere because, and I'm not saying some of those things didn't have some effect, but you can change it. See, I've said for years, you may start out one way, but that doesn't mean you have to finish that way. You know, I see old gray grown people still, I'm this way because my daddy never took me to the ball game. Old gray goatee beard man still crying over that. Or older woman still cause my mama, she preferred Marsha over me. That's the Joe Brady Bunch, Marsha. Never mind. And I'm not saying that perhaps was no truth to some of that, but you can control where you're going. And then in the religious circle and in Christianity, we can have it just as bad because we could believe, well, because we'll sing songs on it. What God had for me is for me. If God meant for you to get it, you're going to get it. And trust me, I learned years ago, no, that ain't true. It is the will of God, but if you don't know how to apply things, you ain't going to get it. Plus, you got a devil out there who's ready to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody got tight on that. Ain't no, it's no fate. We can look through all the Bible and see great men and women of God who got out of the will of God and didn't finish what God told them to do. Now, the plan of God, remember, there's a difference in the will of God and the plan of God. God's plan is going to go on with or without you. You may be the first choice, but hey, you blow it, he's going to get somebody else. So his plan will go. But see, our will has to line up with his. If we don't line our will up, we ain't going. I say, is that true? I taught this years ago. Moses. Moses was supposed to go to the promised land. But because he struck the rock, God told him not to. Then God told him, hey, you're going to see it, but you're not going to go. Moses, the man who got him over the Red Sea. All right. What did I say? All right. 12th chapter of Matthew. Verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. You see, you'll always know the heart of a man by his actions. The fruit in your life is only evidence to what was sown in your heart. And Jesus is saying that right here. Listen. That the tree is known by his fruit. I remember years ago they used to say in the church, you can't judge me. Okay, now I ain't judging you. But if I see apples on your tree, don't tell me you're not an apple tree. See, some of y'all choking on that. I don't have to judge. I see apples on the tree. I wonder, is that an apple tree? Or is them pears? It's an apple tree. I don't have to look at a watermelon and say, I wonder, is that a watermelon or a banana? Some of y'all choked on that. I said, come on now. You know a tree by the fruit. And years ago, folks say, you can't judge. Well, if you say you sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, you know. And I see you doing a bunch of stuff contrary to all of that. I'm not judging. I'm just looking at the. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all have had at least 7 negative thoughts since I've been up here. All right. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 34. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers." Man, I don't know if you've ever. Sometimes you just listen to the language of Jesus sometimes. See, because I know we have this. No, I don't want nobody to misunderstand, you know. But sometimes, you know, we have the image of Jesus just so loving. Then when we hear stuff, old generation of vipers. Now somebody gonna try to translate. He don't mean old generation of he meant oh blessed children. You know, you read in the gospel sometimes it was Jesus used words like hypocrite. He didn't mean hypocrite, he just meant they're unlearned. See, some of us think, you see, some of y'all be thinking, I'm a little rough. Some of y'all could not have made it in Jesus' day. Remember that woman who wanted a miracle, and Jesus said, listen, you don't give the children's bread or the Israelites' bread to the dogs. Oh, my. All right. Old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So he's even saying, whatever continuously comes out of your mouth, whatever you're always saying the most, is really also evidence of what's been sown in your heart. You know. That's like a person who just cuss all that every other word is. Bleep, 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 bleep. They'd be like, I don't know where I got that from. What do you mean? You done put plenty of seed in that heart of bleep, 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 bleep. And then that's why I keep coming out. See, whatever person says the most, you know what's really in their heart. You know, whatever comes out of them a lot, often, that because that's what's been sown in their heart. See, you can tell a real negative person. You kind of be around them, you know, folks can fake for 5 minutes. See, because everybody can shoot a little game for 5 minutes, but just keep listening to somebody after a while, and you can pretty much gather where they at. Then he says in verse 35, he explains it. Listen, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. So Jesus is kind of breaking this down. He said, listen, a good heart can only bring forth or manifest good things. Now, we can take that in any kind of way. You know, a positive heart is going to manifest positive things. A heart that's full of the word of God is going to only manifest the word of God. You know, now an evil heart can't help but to produce evil things. A negative heart can't help but to produce negativity. A confused heart can't help but to produce confusion. A jealous heart can't help but to produce jealousy. That is not difficult. An insecure heart, low self-esteem heart, can't help but to produce those type of manifestations. See, this is why it goes back to for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or what you believe, you become. Because that's what's in your heart.
Oh my.
You see, the heart is so important because the heart can never lie. See, you can get your head to say stuff for a minute, but when stuff is really in your heart, eventually it's going to come out. It is. Eventually it will come out. You know, that's like with relationships. That's why folks, you don't never jump quickly into no serious relationship. You know, see, because on surface, hey, it could seem, hey, as like heaven on earth. But let's keep going. Whatever's in that heart is going to eventually come out. So many stories of people that I think he seems so nice and turned out to be an abuser. Abuse was already in there. I thought they used to buy me stuff and then they turned, they were so cheap. Cheap was already in there. See, the heart cannot lie. Can't lie, because it's the lifeline. It's impossible for the heart. And you can tell your mind anything. I'm all right. Yeah. But if you're not all right in the heart, it is going to come out. See, that's why it's so important that I've taught for years that we should all do self-inventory on a regular basis. Because sometimes you don't really know what's really in you or still in you. Now, I've been in this thing many, many years. And some things maybe I thought was long gone 10 years ago. Now, I ain't talking about nobody crazy, so don't nobody be writing on silly stuff. You know, my life is in order. All right. But some things, you know, and then certain things can happen and then it just can come out. See, that's why we need to always do self-inventory. You know, always tell Pastor Laura, listen, well, I ain't got time to be in nobody else's business. It's a job keeping me because I know me. And truth be told, it's a job keeping you. Some folks don't want to deal with themselves. That's another message. I don't want to. That's why it's easy for you to be in other folks because you don't want to deal with you. Oh, gosh. I really feel like a doctor now, but we all right. We're going to be all right. So a good heart only brings forth or manifests good things. An evil heart can't help but to produce evil things. The heart can never lie because it's the lifeline that produces. This is why we're told to guard it. Guard the gates of your heart. Why? Because it can make the difference in the matter of life and death. It can make the difference in the matter of prosperity and poverty, sickness and health, joy or depression, faith or fear, love or hate, whatever. It can make all the difference. That's why you've got to protect it. You've got to guard it. The heart is the production center. You know, so you got to ask yourself, what have you allowed to produce in your heart? You know, what is it have I allowed that's producing things? So now there's a connection between the mind and the heart. The mind and the heart. The mind, it conceives, it carries every thought, images, dreams, imaginations, all of it. The heart is the lifeline. It receives permission from the mind to give life to those thoughts. See, the heart, it does. It gives permission. You know, put those thoughts in there, boom, I can produce that. See, because the heart is a producer. It produces seed, and thoughts are seeds. Amen. It does. The heart, it receives permission from the mind to give life to those thoughts. That's why you got to guard it. See, because we can all get bad thoughts. No one is exempt from getting a negative thought. No one. You know, and we know the enemy is behind those thoughts. He'll shoot those thoughts. You know, and he'll shoot them at random. Now, maybe this has never happened to you. I've been in periods of praying. Can I be honest about it? The Reverend, really? I could be praying in the Holy Ghost. Ebo Boshando, the whole bit. And an off thought can get shot in my mind. Now somebody's saying, how can that be? Don't you minimize the power of the mind. And that's really what the, remember, that's even what Satan does. He shoots, try to attack the mind. That's what temptation is all about. You know, that's really what it was all about when he was tempting Jesus. It was a mindset. Now, I know we have this image as if, you know, the devil was physically there in the mountain with Jesus. That's not so. It was a battle in the mind. Just like when you're tempted in things. It ain't like you standing there, sitting there, and you see the devil there with a pitchfork and a tail. And he telling you stuff. And then you telling him no. And he's saying, yeah, no. And you know that's not true. It's a battle in the mind. Oh, my. So for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, if this is true, which it is, then that means I have some control on how my life is going to turn out. See, that's one of the great things about this, that I have some control on how my life is going to turn out. And the great thing with us in the body of Christ, we have this. Because we know God's will for our life. You know, this is his will for our life. His plans in here. And we can base our life according to this. And we know how it's going to turn out. You know, if I want to get to heaven, I need to get saved. If I want heaven to be my final destination, I know how to get to heaven. I get saved. Hallelujah. See, I can purposely direct who I can become. If I don't like how my life has been, I have the tools to change it. See, that's powerful right there. You know, if I don't like how my life is going the direction, I have the necessary tools. I can change it. I can change it. You know, I don't have to stay depressed. You don't have to stay living in fear. You don't have to live your life with low self-esteem, feeling inferior and insecure. You can change that. You don't have to be jealous or envious of anyone. You can change that. You don't have to live your life bitter, you know, resentful and all that. You can change that. You know, yeah, maybe your mom and daddy didn't do whatever. You don't have to continue. You can change that. Did you not know you can feel different about people? Sin, it has nothing to do with their actions. It's you. You know, I've had issues with folks in the past because a lot of them stuck me in the back. And I know what the words say, but see, that let me tell you something about that man, that jacks you up and messes you up. And whether folks say they sorry or not, that's not even the issue. You can change that. You can change how you feel. You can change that where you can look at a person where you no longer hurt any longer or no longer mad or want to punch them or want to cuss them out. And, you know, and you change that. I'm not saying you got to sit down and have cookies and milk with them. You know, you don't have to keep resenting the guy who dumped you in a bad way. Or the girl who went for your best friend. Or whatever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I can change all of these things. Oh, give me 5 minutes. Now, where does it all start? It starts in the mind. Change begins in the mind. Tell somebody that change begins in the mind. See, and I'm saying that because if the mind don't change, how can things change? See, sometimes folks want things to change, but they don't want to change. See, I learned some years ago, it's not really about others change, it's about you. I'd be better if they change. No, it's about you. That didn't go over so well. I wish my wife would like pass the Lord. No. Why don't you change? Or vice versa. I'm an equal opportunity. Yeah. I wish my husband liked it. Well, I ain't going to say that because that's impossible. The mold was broken with me, so that just ain't happening. This lifetime or the one afterwards, it just ain't happening. But you change. So change begins in the mind. Yeah. And I'm saying that because folks, they say they want to change, but are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to change how you think? You know, are you willing to put in the work? You see, if I change how I think, then I'm guaranteed I will change the course of my life. And that goes with anything. You know, prosperity didn't just happen. I had to change my thinking. See, let me say this, and I'm going to end with that. Even when concerning prosperity for a Christian, I ain't talking about in the world. See, you got to change your thinking concerning that. See, and the reason some of us Christians struggle with prosperity, see, because our thinking is still, it can't happen unless it's done the world's way. I knew that wouldn't really go over neither. See, we have to change our mind with that. See, because if you sitting up there just keep thinking that you know, I'd really be rolling if I had a six-figure job. Now, truth be told, when you get that, it ain't that much. I know some of you are like, yeah, please. And some folks and some folks here close that, and they'll tell you right now, it really ain't that much. Man, that was the wrong crowd to say that. Brother Chidi, Dr. Suji, that was the wrong crowd. We have to change our mindset with that. See, don't think, oh, I'd be prosperous because if I get this, or even if this happens or that happens, or those of us who are in business, it's the business making seven figures and so on. No. We have to renew our minds that prosperity according to this word. And when I follow the principles of this word, then I don't care how it's manifested. See, I don't care how it's manifested. You know, whether it's manifested through promotion in the job, whether it's manifested with contracts and customers through the business, or whether it's contract with selling 10 million books. I don't care how, you know. Ed McMahon Jr. can knock on my door because Ed McMahon Sr. don't. But Ed McMahon Jr. can knock on my door. I don't care how it's manifested. See, some of y'all missing that. I thought, and I've shared this before, and I'm going to end this. I'm telling you how I had to renew my mind with prosperity. Now, I've always had a certain image or whatever of living a certain way. Before I got saved, it was either Hollywood or the music industry. You know, so I always had a certain mindset of the, you know, the big mansion, the roses, all of that. And after I got saved and got into the Word, didn't even have to start pastoring. And not that long ago, I figured, well, I could only maybe have that kind of lifestyle with at least 1,000 people in here. I'm being honest about it. Because with 1,000 folk, you know, the ministry can flow, and finally, I can get a piece of something. Can I be honest about it? But see, I had to renew my mind that it's not based on the outer. And as I renew my mind with the word according to kingdom prosperity and the principles and got it in me, then that's what came manifested out. I'm telling you all. You know, my lifestyle and my accountant who does my taxes will tell you that. There are only certain folks who live that this way. Now, see, now some of you choke. And obviously it has nothing to do with
it. We sincerely hope you enjoy this message from Stephen Pettis Ministry. If you are blessed and would like to sow a seed and become a covenant partner with SPM, feel free to contact us at 877-324-8497, prompt 6, or online at stephenpettisministries.org. If you would like this or any other message in its entirety, we'd also love to hear from you. Get ready for a better life.
I come to give you a better life.